It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Saturday afternoon, keeping you company here a couple of more hours. It is 3 o'clock, and it's time for us to roll into an all-NFL hour. We'll spend the next 59 minutes slogging our way through the National Football League, and in particular, your Atlanta Falcons. Let's start there. We do it every weekend, call it 5 Falcons Questions. Eric has got them teed up. Let's talk a little Falcons football. Eric, what you got today?
Well, man, it's been a minute since you and I have had a chance to do this. Yeah, it's a great thing we do during the offseason, and we dissect. It was a great segment last segment, whether we thought the Falcons have done enough in the offseason. I appreciate those calls. They had some good comments. But we got five.
Yeah, we're gonna come back to that, too, by the way. So if you did not get a chance to call in, if you weren't in a position to call, we will bring that back a little bit later on, and we'll also continue to take your thoughts on X, which I still call Twitter. So
I think most of us still call Twitter. Hasn't he taken enough advice to – I think it was about a month ago he put it out there, should I turn it back to Twitter? And everybody said, yes, you shouldn't have changed it. What's he waiting for? Talking about Elon Musk.
Yeah, I didn't understand why they made the change, but hey, whatever. Yeah,
All right, so let's go with question number one in 5 Falcons questions. You made a great – comment that, you know, the Falcons have the most confidence you have is in the running back room. So then, real simple question, who leads the Falcons in rushing attempts, not yardage, but attempts in 2024?
See, I'm a Tyler Algier fan, and I want to see him get his this year. I love his running style. I love how he plays, but it's got to be Bijan Robinson, right? I mean, he's got to be the focal point of this run game, if not the focal point of the entire offense. So I think Bijan ends up leading the team in rush attempts. He's got those big play abilities. I think he's going to finish with a nice little yards per carry average, which would be good. I really hope what we see out of this offense, and I keep hearing the comps made between Bijan and Christian McCaffrey. I went and looked. Christian McCaffrey caught 85 passes last year.
That's a big number for a running back.
That's the fourth time in his career that he's caught at least 80. So that's kind of what I'd like to see from this offense and from Bijan Robinson. I love the comparison to Christian McCaffrey, and I hope that's kind of what Bijan can turn into. It's what McCaffrey does that I think makes him so difficult to defend, so difficult to scheme against. Now, granted, some of that is just God-given. Right, he's an incredible athlete, and you can't coach that. But the other is his ability to catch the ball coming out of the backfield and to be able to make people miss. So I hope that we see a little bit of that from Bijan Robinson this year. But again, I'm a Tyler Algier fan. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he has a really nice year. But as I said just a little while ago, man, I think the Falcons are super lucky to have two guys like that.
I agree. I think the Falcons should, as a team, probably rush for close to 2,000 yards, if not more. Individually, they both should be close to above. One probably go over 1,000, one probably be right just under 1,000. All right, let's go to keep on the offensive side of the ball on these 5 Falcons questions. So we know who's going to rush the ball for us, but in that receiving room, who leads this team in receiving yards? Your tight end or one of your wide receivers, or could it be one of those backs out of the backfield?
Well, so if we're talking about receiving yards, I think it's going to be Drake London, because I think London's going to get a ton of targets in this. I hope Darnell Mooney leads the team in yards per catch, because that means they've hit a lot of big plays down the field, and I feel like that's something that's been missing from the Falcons' offense the last couple of years. I know from being around here on game day, and Mike Johnson and I doing the pregame and the postgame together, that's been something that Mike harped on a lot, both on air and off air last year, was, man, who's, you know, you got to have that downfield threat somewhere. You got to have the guy that can take the top off of the defense. And that's been missing for the Falcons offense. That's what, you know, Mike had said last year before the season was over, that he thought they should draft a wide receiver at number one. If you could find that guy that could be that downfield receiving threat in the draft, that should be the direction that they would go. So I hope that translates into production for Darnell Mooney. Drake London's going to get a lot of targets. I think he ends up leading the team in receiving yards. I hope Kyle Pitts is right behind him. Hopefully he's fully healthy and we see more of him this year than what we have seen in the past. Obviously his rookie year, he was fantastic. Year two, there was a knee injury. That he's got to get back to looking more like the guy that he was in his first year in the league. Hopefully he's healthy and we see some of that. We don't know what this offense is going to look like. I love the quote again on AtlantaFalcons.com this week from Drake London about the Falcons want to play faster. That kind of got me excited about what this could look like, but I don't want to see it in practice. I don't want to see it in a scrimmage. I want to see what this is going to look like in a real game. This is the I look forward to the NFL preseason every year, just because I'm glad to have football back and I'm glad to get it started. But I really look forward to the fact, as weird as it is, because you know, we can have an argument about useless things in sports, and the NFL preseason may be pretty high on that list. But this year, in this instance, for these Falcons, I really want to see what this looks like. And I don't know how much they're going to show preseason. Probably not a whole lot. We may have to wait till game one before we really see anything. But the idea of some tempo being in this offense, I kind of like it, especially if you can get it established on the ground and that offensive line playing with some tempo, and those guys are so good going downhill anyway. I mean, I think you could really create some problems and have some defenses back on their heels if you're able to execute that way, kind of like what Drake London was talking about this week.
You know, we've talked about some offense, and, I mean, you make some really good points. All right, so let's talk about defense a little bit. I remember last segment, and you brought it up, you know, we said, oh, well, how are we going to solve the sack problem? Now, sack problem is a huge problem on this team, but John Fricke always says, you score more points, guess what? More sacks will come. Now, if we're scoring points and the team's having to throw the ball, sacks will come, but hopefully another stat that needs to go up will go up too, and that's turnovers, okay? This team really has lacked turning over the ball, whether we put recover fumbles or this one, whether we take the ball out of the air from the quarterback. So I ask you this, in 2024, can we increase interceptions, and if so, what player should lead this team in INTs?
You hope so. Right? I mean, I think you hope that is what's going to happen. I'm going to go Jesse Bates again. One, I just think he's a ball hawk playing back there. I think he's got great instincts. He breaks on the ball so well. And secondly, I think teams are going to avoid targeting A.J. Terrell again. That was something that we have seen the last couple of years. That's probably something that continues. The only way this changes is if the Falcons go out and grab somebody between now and the start of the regular season that can come in and play that other corner spot. There's some guys that are out there. And look, I don't think the Falcons are done when it comes to making moves. The question is, I mean, they got like $3 million under the cap.
You're not going to get Stephen Gilmore for $3 million.
Yeah, and that's the problem is – Are there other things you can do? And you know how NFL accounting is. I mean, you're able to get a little creative with it. If you can get in and be creative, can you find yourself, can you create some additional cap space to go out and find somebody? They may not be willing to do that right now. But if we were in Vegas, Eric, and we were going to go lay some money down on who leads the Falcons in interceptions this year, I'm going to go Jesse Bates again.
And until another name comes, I would agree with you. What the impact he made on this team last year, he was my vote doesn't count. But early in the year, he had to be the lead runner, or at least for, you know, defensive player of the year. He should have been somewhere.
No question. No question.
And if we finish with a better record, he's probably getting a lot more votes. All right. So so we've talked a little offense. We've talked a little defense. So with those two broad categories, which one of our – sides of the ball can get into the top 10? Who's more likely? Can we have a top 10 offense or a top 10 defense, or could we have both?
I'm not down on this defense despite the way that it sounded in the last segment. I'm really not. I want to take more of a wait and see approach. I mean, you put a top 10 defense with some consistent quarterback play, and then I think you're talking about a team that could legit contend in the NFC. I'm not there yet with it. I do like this offense. I feel like they're going to be really good. If this offense is not top 10, or at least on the cusp of being a top 10 offense, you know, somewhere 11, 12, something like that, I'm going to be hugely disappointed. Because this offense, it should be fun to watch this year, and they should put up a bunch of points.
I will say this, Chris, if this offense is not top 10, this is a failure, okay? Three straight first-round picks on the offensive side of the ball. Arguably two of the top, maybe three offensive linemen in all of football. And now a quarterback who walks into the room saying, I'm going to at least pass 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
At least 4,000 yards to him should be, I had an off year. How is this not a top 10 offense?
Right.
That's a failure if it's not. All right, then only one more question to ask you here on this five Falcons question. And we're going to look past 2024. We know who the guy is. I'm even going to look past 2025. I'm going to go all the way to 2026. And I'm going to ask you this. Who's your signal caller going into the 2026 season? And that's going to caveat saying this. 2024 and 2025 are really good years.
Well, and that's where it gets confusing, right? Or it gets interesting, maybe. Because if it's not Michael Penix in 2026, then I think Terry Fontenot has got a little explaining to do. Because that sounds like that's the plan. Kirk Cousins got a lot of guaranteed money this year and next. So he is your two-year starter, and then you move to Penix in 26. But as you point out, Eric, I think the real question is, what if Cousins comes in here and lights it up? You know, what if he has a fantastic year at age 38 in 2025 and he's, you know, 4,800 yards and 30-plus touchdowns? What then? I mean, I think it's a good problem to have if you can get to that point because, look, if he's putting up those kind of numbers, the Falcons are going to have really good years.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you ask me what I think right now, Kirk Cousins this year, Kirk Cousins next year, that's 2 years for Michael Penix to be doing his job. Well, because the thing on for Penix right now is you better be in the meeting room, you better be early, be taking notes, you better be asking questions, and hopefully, and it by all – you know, it doesn't sound like Kirk Cousins is a Brett Favre type. You know, Favre wanted nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, and some of that might have been with how Aaron Rodgers approached Brett Favre when he got to Green Bay as a rookie. Rodgers didn't want anything to do with Jordan Love, apparently. I don't know that Kirk Cousins is going to be that guy. I'd be shocked if I find out that Kirk Cousins was like, you know, get away from me, you're bothering me. But if I'm Michael Penix, man, I'm going to learn because nobody's going to throw anything this year. Not a single defense is going to throw anything at Kirk Cousins that dude hadn't seen. So if I'm Michael Penix, I got to get in there and do the work this year and next year so that when 26 does get here, I'm ready to go. I think 2026 and who the quarterback is a lot more about Michael Penix than it is about Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot, or Kirk Cousins even. I think it's going to be whether or not Michael Penix gets in here and does the job that he needs to do in order to be that guy come 26. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Eric, thank you for playing along. Five Falcons questions, we do it every week. I spend a segment in the summer throughout the month of June and into July kind of doing a little preview of the NFC South. We have talked on Sundays here last couple of weeks. We've talked Tampa. We have talked New Orleans. We've still got to do Carolina. I want to get back to that next week because Howard Balzer, a good guy. I've known Howard for a long time. He's with Lindy's Pro Football Preview. Howard's going to join us next. We'll talk some big picture stuff, a little bit about the Falcons. We'll kind of go around the league with him. We'll do it next. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back we go on the WaitFor.com hotline. We say hello to our friend Howard Balzer. Howard is part of Lindy's Pro Football Preview magazine. You also may hear him on SiriusXM as he hosts the weekly Pro Football Hall of Fame radio show. Howard's joining us. We'll talk a little bit about the National Football League here for a few minutes. Howard, I want to kind of go around the league, but first, I want to start here in Atlanta. Your thoughts on what this Falcons offense could be with Kirk Cousins in control?
Yeah, that's the big, the big question. Obviously, it can be very good. And I always go back to what Raheem Morris said back at the combine when he was asked about the quarterback situation and all those things. And they hadn't signed, Cousins yet. And he said, heck, if they had a good quarterback here, I probably wouldn't have this job. And so obviously, when you're talking about a league that I think it's lost sight of sometimes how really close it is between a lot of teams, and it's hair thin, the difference between going 7-10 and 10-7. And so, that's where the Falcons have been a little bit of a spin with the 7-10 records, and, get that good quarterbacking and the health and all those things around that quarterback. And you've got a good chance of, winning some of those close games that you lost. And all of a sudden that changes the whole perspective of a season. So I don't think there's any doubt that they could be very improved. Certainly a big part is, how is he going to play coming back from that Achilles injury? But obviously they're confident that he'll be fine. And so while some would argue, well, he's never proven to be a quote elite quarterback and all those things, but the bottom line is he's a very good quarterback and he definitely helps make the teams he's on competitive.
Who's the favorite in the NFC South?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess I'd have to say Tampa Bay only because they're the defending champions, but that wasn't by a whole lot. And, as I mentioned with those, winning games, when you win a division by a game or two games, a lot of times you win the division on a tiebreaker, that shows how close everything is. So, but even though I guess you should say that, that the Bucs are the favorite, that doesn't mean it's by a resounding fashion at all. And I think, you can't count out the Falcons. You can't count out the Saints. I think the Panthers certainly are a bit behind those teams, but I think that, what we've seen from this division over the last couple seasons is probably what will be very similar and what we'll see again this year.
Howard Balzer from Lindy's Pro Football Preview magazine. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The new kicking rule
change for kickoffs. It felt, Howard, for the longest time like they were trying to eliminate this play from the sport. Now it looks like, at least for 1 year anyway, it's here to stay. What do you think the impact of the changing of the kickoff rules is going to be on the game?
Quite frankly, I think it might be overstated on what everyone expects, because I think the league, my thought is the league made a mistake in terms of not really penalizing teams for kicking the ball into the end zone. And obviously we've seen that over the last number of years, and the ball was brought out to the 25. Well, now if you kick in the end zone, it's brought out to the 30. And so I think what we're going to see is, and it'll take a little bit of time to see how the returns go, but if you start seeing, you know, returns consistently, you know, getting to the 35, 40 yard line or more in big plays, then I think teams are just going to kick it in the end zone and take the ball at the 30. Personally, and I know they considered with this rule putting it at the 35 instead of the 30, and they decided on the 30. I would say put it at the 40. I mean, I think that would be the one place that would be the biggest deterrent to kicking it in the end zone, and then you'll get a lot of those returns. So, like I said, I think it's overstated, and I think where we will really see the impact is late in the game, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, coming down the stretch of the fourth quarter. And what's the team going to do, you know, if they have a, you know, 1 point lead, or it's a tie game or whatever it might be, and they're kicking off, right? Are they going to chance a big return, or not even a big return, but just maybe a little bit better than average return, where a team might need one, you know, one first down or so to get into field goal range and win the game for themselves? Or will they just kick it into the end zone and take their chances of the ball at the 30? So that I think is going to be the biggest, and I haven't seen it talked about a whole lot, but I think that's going to be the biggest thing to watch with this, that the unintended consequences of having that part of the rule where it is might end up eliminating what they thought was going to be a very consistent and exciting play to watch.
Are you surprised, Howard, that we sit here a couple of weeks away from the start of training camp and Bill Belichick is not going to be on the sidelines anywhere this year?
You know, it's one of those things where I say I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. And because we have to say also that Pete Carroll is on the sideline. And at least Belichick, of course, you know, had the interviews there and, you know, in Atlanta, and looked like it was pretty close where he might get the job. Pete Carroll, to my knowledge, didn't even have any interviews. And so that's the league. It's a, you know, it's trending young, just like so many of our businesses now. And I think teams would look at it and say, yeah, we might be able to do better than the guy we got with Belichick or Pete Carroll, but how long is he going to be our head coach? And so they're always looking for that guy who's relatively young and, you know, hopefully can be there for a decade or longer. We know that doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, that's the goal, certainly. So from that standpoint, I think it's not that surprising that they didn't get jobs. And what will really tell the tale is what happens in the next cycle. Will they be seriously considered? And that's just the reality of it. Granted, it only takes one team to have that interest and decide to, you know, to try to do that. But I think that it's trending, you know, trending away from that. And, you know, and I go back, quite frankly, it's not a coach, it's a quarterback, but when Tom Brady was leaving the Patriots, how many teams were truly interested in him at that time? I think there were two. And one signed him in Tampa Bay, and the other was the Chargers. That was it. It wasn't like there were teams lined up at the door for one of the great quarterbacks of all time. And so I think that's one of the reasons, that's a big reason why we have seen what we have, you know, what we saw in this, you know, in this cycle with Belichick and Pete Carroll.
Lindy's Pro Football Preview Magazine, it's out, it's available, it's on the newsstands now. Howard Balzer from Lindy's, he's hanging with us here for, as we talk a little NFL football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about some teams around the league now. I want to stay in the NFC. 49ers, they bring everybody back. Do you view them as the favorites?
I do. I think I really truly believe they're probably the best team in the league last year. Didn't play out that way in the Super Bowl, although it did take overtime to beat them. So I think when you look at that roster, offensively, defensively, throughout, it's hard to match what the 49ers are capable of doing. So I definitely view them as the team to beat. It doesn't mean they can't be beaten, but they to me they definitely are. And we'll see. You know, we'll see if if they have what it takes to make it all the way, which we know how hard that is. And when you get into the postseason, then you're playing the best of the rest, or not even the rest really, but you know, the best in the league, no matter who you are. And so that just shows that anything can happen once you hit the postseason.
Will Mike McCarthy survive this year as the Cowboys head coach?
It's going to take some playoff wins, I would think. And we'll see if that can manifest itself. You know, they're a team that has those excellent, usually in the last, you know, several years, has really good regular seasons, but just aren't able to put it all together in the postseason. And certainly the coach is the one that always gets blamed. And knowing Jerry Jones, he'll say, well, he might think that, I don't know if the guy I'll get to replace Mike McCarthy will be able to do what I wanted to do, but we might as well try with someone else because it hasn't worked out. And I think that's the kind of the pit you fall in when you continue to make these changes. But yeah, I would think unless they have that really, really good postseason, it doesn't mean a Super Bowl, but you know, at least winning more than one game and, you know, getting close. I mean, this is a team that's not only not been the Super Bowl, but conference championship games have been totally elusive in the last, gosh, you know, almost three decades. And so I think they would at least have to do that, I would think, for McCarthy to keep his job.
Where does Detroit fit in for you in the NFC?
Oh, they're a team to contend with. I mean, there's no question about it. And we saw how close they were last year and had the lead on the 49ers in that conference championship game. And so I think Jared Goff is one of the more, I don't know if underrated is the right word, but whatever it is, you very rarely see him put in that class of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And I understand why that doesn't happen. And all the narrative ever since Goff was traded there was, oh, he's just a placeholder, you know, for the next quarterback. But the guy's a darn good player. And say what you will about him, he helped the Rams get to the Super Bowl when he was the quarterback there. And they lost to an excellent Patriots team, obviously, that knew how to, you know, that came up with a plan to defend them. And all of a sudden, now we don't like Jared Goff so much anymore. So I think that he, like I said, he's a force to be reckoned with. A lot of really good players around him, a defense that continues to improve. And so, you know, there's no really, they very well, how well coached they are, how well balanced they are in that roster. They're probably, you know, right there with the 49ers as the two best teams in the NFC.
Howard Balzer, Lindy's Pro Football Preview Magazine. It's out. It's available. It's on the newsstands. You can go to lindysports.com and order you a copy if you don't find it in the stores. Let's hop over to the AFC now. I guess we got to start with the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, everybody's back. Are they the favorites in the AFC again?
Yeah, until someone beats them. I mean, you can always come up with teams that you think will give them a run. And there are teams that are capable of doing that. I think one of the more intriguing ones will be right in their division with the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh as coach. You've got a brutal, probably the best division top to bottom in the NFL and the AFC North. You know, Buffalo, they're not going away no matter what a lot of people believe. So those are all teams that certainly on one day can beat the Chiefs. But they're the champs. Someone has to prove they can knock them off. And it hasn't happened much over the last half decade. And so we'll see if a team, you know, finds a way to get it done when they get to the postseason. But, you know, as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, I think the thing that's least talked about with the Chiefs is how good the defense is. And that was the side of the ball that really carried them in large part, last season when they were struggling a little bit on offense. So, you know, the defense has really proved, and Steve Spagnuolo, I'll tell you, you go back to wherever he's been as a defensive coordinator, and he's always been one of the best in the National Football League. So when you have those two things together with Andy Reid as the head coach, just hard to knock them off in those big games. Someone can, but will they? I think that's the question. So, yes, there's no doubt that they are the team to beat in that conference.
I want to wrap up and talk a little bit about quarterbacks here for just a second. C.J. Stroud came in last year as a rookie. He had a phenomenal year. He put up tremendous numbers. Is there a quarterback in this rookie class that, Howard, you feel like can do what C.J. Stroud did or get close to that?
That's a great question because you just never know how a rookie is going to, you know, play and react and get through adversity and all those things that happen to you as a quarterback, even when you're an experienced a quarterback. So when you look at those top guys, I know the Bears have improved the team around that will be around Caleb Williams. So you look at that and say, well, there's a guy that you would think with the talent and the ability he has that perhaps he can do, something close to C.J. Stroud did. Not so sure about, the other ones. I think that, Jaden Daniels, an electric talent, but can he pass the ball consistently enough, and how much running is a part of his game? Can he stay healthy? So that's obviously the big question with him. J.J. McCarthy, you have to say, well, the Vikings have pretty good talent there, and so we'll see what he's able to do. But it's tough to predict. I'll never say never that no one can do what Stroud did because it's so unusual to see what he was able to accomplish. But certainly wouldn't surprise me if someone does. But I would say if I had to pick one, I would say the best chance would be Caleb Williams. But that's another guy that, again, the biggest thing to me in quarterbacks in how they play in the NFL is how they respond to those tough times. How do they respond to adversity? And I think that is the one question that you wonder about with Caleb Williams.
Lindy's Pro Football Preview Magazine, it's out, it's available, it's on the newsstands now. Howard Balzer is a part of that, covered the NFL for a long time. He's also a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM. Howard, always great. We get a chance to visit. Appreciate the time today and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Enjoyed it. Take care. Love to do it again. Thanks.
Howard Balzer, as we've been talking some NFL. Stay with us. We got more coming up here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco fourth in is we put the wraps on our second hour. Appreciate Howard Balzer giving me a little bit of time to talk about the NFL. Howard has been around. He's covered the NFL for a long time. He is actually the answer to a little bit of NFL trivia, though. He was the analyst for the first ever ESPN broadcast of the NFL draft. And I think ESPN did a 30 for 30 maybe on this draft. I want to say that the NFL Network has done something on it too. And, that was Howard. He was an analyst for that at the time. And he's been he's on both of those features if you ever get a chance to watch him. He's all over him. Good guy. Always enjoy getting a chance for us to always enjoy when we get a chance to sit down and talk for a bit. It's time for us to get to our NFL notebook. We're getting closer. I mentioned it earlier. Week after next is SEC Media Days, which for me has always been the unofficial start of the football season. The Falcons open training camp in 18 days. We're just over 2 weeks away. This summer it's flying by. I realize today I have done nothing. I haven't been anywhere. We've had our house remodeled, so everything at home's been turned upside down. My wife has moved her business and expanded it, so there's just been so much going on. We've not done anything this summer. I just kind of look around and go, where the heck did May and June go? It's been like a blur. But here we go. 18 days till the Falcons head to training camp. Some news from around the league this week. Not a whole lot going on this time of the year, honestly. This is that time when everybody kind of scatters and guys start taking vacations and rest up before the season starts. There are a couple of things that I want to get to in this, including a little piece on quarterbacks. If you're a Falcons fan, you'll want to stick around. A little piece on quarterbacks recovering from Achilles injuries. We'll get to that. Hang on. Coming up here in just a minute on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Dolphins and quarterback Tua Tagovailoa are still trying to figure out what this new contract is going to be. Tua's obviously dude's ready to get paid. He's put up some pretty impressive numbers the last couple of years. The last two, I guess, 2 years ago, he had the NFL's highest passer rating, and then last year he led the league in passing yards. Rick Spielman, former GM of the Vikings, he was on Sirius XM this week, and he talked about the contract situation between Tua and the Dolphins. Here's Rick Spielman.
I think that if they would have got this deal done maybe last year or right at the beginning of the offseason, you may have looked at that $48 to $52 million range. But as all these contracts come in, and they continue to go up every year, that Tua is going to get paid near $55 million. Now, you can say, I don't think he deserves that, but you're not going to be able to sign him because that's, like he said, the market is what the market is. why would he take anything less, especially if it's his first bite out of the apple, first time he's going to get a significant contract. Maybe if it was his second or third contract, he may say, well, I may give a home team discount. But because it's the first time he is going to get a significant deal, they're going to have to pay him that market value. And if they don't, then maybe they don't think that he is the quarterback of the future going forward. Or they'll say, well, we'll just tag you the next 2 years after this year is up. So that's when you can get into some holdouts and him potentially not showing up. I think he'll show up for this year's camp, but if they didn't get a deal done and they franchise him next year or the year after, then I think that's where you get into the holdout situations.
You can't blame Tua for wanting to get his, and I think the longer you wait on a quarterback, the more and more expensive they get, because every time one of them signs a contract, the bar gets raised a little bit higher for whoever is next. You know, and then somebody else comes along and they reset the market for everybody else. One sad NFL story we do need to make mention of. This is our NFL notebook here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in with you. The Minnesota Vikings rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson and two former college football players were killed in a car crash overnight. This is according to the Maryland State Police. Kyree Jackson was 24 years old. He died after a three-car crash. It occurred at 3:14 in the morning today in Prince George's County. Isaiah Hazel and Anthony Lighton Jr. were the two former players who were high school classmates of Jackson. They were killed in the crash. Hazel, 23, played at Maryland and Charlotte, while Lighton, 24, played at Florida State and at Penn State. They say Hazel was driving a Dodge Charger. Jackson was in the passenger seat when their car was struck by an Infiniti Q50 attempting to change lanes at a high speed. The Charger left the road and struck multiple tree stumps. According to police, Jackson and Hazel were both pronounced dead at the scene, while Lighton was transported to the hospital before he was pronounced dead by hospital personnel later. Jackson was a fourth-round pick of the Vikings in this year's draft and had been considered the guy that would start at one of the cornerback positions for the Vikings this year. A lot of tributes. Jackson played his final year at Oregon. Dan Lanning is among those that has tweeted about it, saying that he's at a loss for words and just a real. It's a sad story anytime you hear anything like this, but my goodness, three guys who were so, so young that had so much ahead of them. It's just heartbreaking to hear that. Let's turn back to some more, maybe some more positive stories today, some happier stories today. Eric, how much of the UFL did you watch this year?
Not a single down.
I did not. I watched a little bit, maybe, of a game in the first week, and then I never watched the rest of it.
It was on the TV screens here inside the kids' studios. Often when I would come in, I would walk by like, oh, UFL, and keep right on going.
Yeah. Well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has put together an exhibit to honor the Birmingham Stallions, who won the first UFL championship. I don't know that anybody's going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to see this. I think there's probably some other things that you're going to go there to see. But it is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not just the NFL Hall of Fame, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that was pro football, and that's what they've done. Hard Knocks, The Offseason, it debuted this week on HBO, centers around the offseason of the New York Giants. Yahoo Sports. Here's maybe a little positive for you if you're a Falcons fan. Yahoo Sports has listed their NFL power rankings. And I guess they're doing it in segments. They're trying to stretch it out over the whole month. Here's what I can tell you. They have released teams ranked number 18 through 32, and the Atlanta Falcons are not listed. So at least in Yahoo's assessment, the Falcons are one of the top 17 teams in the league. The Saints, Buccaneers, and Panthers are all among those ranked between 18 and 32. As a matter of fact, Carolina is actually ranked at the bottom. Of course, this is that time of the year when every outlet, publication, every website, they're all doing previews and lists. The only thing I can figure is that list must get a lot of clicks on the internet because everybody has a lot of list and rankings this time of the year. CBS Sports, they've got the Falcons finishing second in the South behind the Buccaneers. They also bring out a, I'm going to call it a concerning stat. I mentioned this earlier. This is what I was talking about quarterbacks returning from an Achilles injury like Kirk Cousins. Now, this is what CBS Sports says. They say there are only four notable examples of quarterbacks tearing their Achilles later in their careers and then returning to play. According to CBS Sports Research, Pro Football Hall of Famer Dan Marino, when he was 32, was the only one of the four to come back and throw 10 or more touchdowns than he did interceptions in the rest of his career. So, again, according to CBS, notable quarterbacks after tearing Achilles, 1993, Dan Marino, the age of 32, 86 more starts after that, threw 122 touchdowns, 84 interceptions, and went to two Pro Bowls. 1999, Vinny Testaverde was 36 years old. He made 68 more starts after the Achilles, 70 touchdowns, 76 interceptions. In 2000, Jim Miller was 29 years old. He made only 21 more starts, had 26 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. And Trent Dilfer, at the age of 30, made 19 more starts, 20 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. The numbers are what they are. I just think that Kirk Cousins is probably still a little closer to Dan Marino. Not saying that he is Marino, but I just think he's probably a little closer to Marino than he is Vinny Testaverde, Jim Miller, or Trent Dilfer. Nothing against those guys. And let's point out, too, that Testaverde dealt with this 25 years ago. Jim Miller, it was 24 years ago. Trent Dilfer was 22 years ago. Medicine and rehab and everything else has come a long way since these guys went through the same thing as Kirk Cousins. So I just, again, I found that this week on CBS Sports. I saved the link because I wanted to go back and reference it because it ties in a little bit to the Falcons and with Kirk Cousins. But again, I just don't see, you know, how you can take, you know, I just don't see how you can take injury data from, you know, 1999 and apply it the same today, especially when Kirk Cousins, again, no offense to those guys, but outside of Marino, everybody on this list, Kirk Cousins has had a better career than Vinny Testaverde, Jim Miller, and Trent Dilfer, and miss me with the whole thing about, you know, Dilfer winning a Super Bowl. But Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than those three guys. So I got faith that when he comes back, he's going to be a little more like Dan Marino was when he came back than these guys. CBS Sports also lists the Falcons as a potential trade partner with the Patriots to land Matt Judon. That would be huge. We talked about those needs that the Falcons filled in the offseason and what's left. Matthew Judon fills those holes. Now, as Eric and I pointed out a little while ago, Falcons have just over $3 million left under the cap. If you're going to make a move and bring in, whether it's a pass rusher like Judon or a corner, if you're going to go find a difference maker, somebody in the Falcons accounting department is going to have to get a little bit creative. Because it's going to cost you a little bit if you're going to find somebody that's going to make a difference right now for the Falcons on the defensive side of the ball. So, the idea of Matthew Judon here, I would love it. Absolutely love it to see that guy. But at the same time, I just don't know that the money is there. Same thing goes with, you know, some of these corners that are still out there that have yet to sign anywhere. You know, are there guys right now that could probably come in here and help the Falcons? I think they are. I just don't know that at this point you've got the money to be able to go make that move. And that's kind of where everything is right now with the Falcons. There's still a move left for the Falcons. I just don't know that it's going to be, you know, I just don't know that it's going to be that big, impactful move that I think we'd all like to see them make. It's kind of like the Hawks right now. I think the Hawks have probably got another move or two left in them. The issue is the Hawks aren't going to go into the luxury tax for anybody. So they're going to be budget shopping when it comes to rounding out this roster. I don't want to say the Falcons. Falcons are not necessarily shopping at, you know, the Dollar Tree, but they are.
They sure ain't shopping at Neiman Marcus.
They are not at Neiman. That's right. There will be no little blue bags from Tiffany's for whoever the Falcons end up going to get, unless
I'd
again,
be happy for Kohl's or Belk.
Yeah. Yeah, you better have you some Kohl's cash.
Yeah, you better have they can borrow mine.
Yeah, my wife's got like God. I bet. Listen, if Kohl's cash was real cash, I think we might be millionaires. I might could retire off that. Maybe. It's going to wrap up our All NFL Hour. We're not done talking football though. We got more. Talked a lot of college football this summer, and we keep coming back to Florida and what it's going to be like in Gainesville this year. And can Billy Napier win enough to be able to keep his job? We're going to get into that next. My buddy Will Miles from readandreaction.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Crisco fourth in is we put the wraps on our second hour. Appreciate Howard Balzer giving me a little bit of time to talk about the NFL. Howard has been around. He's covered the NFL for a long time. He is actually the answer to a little bit of NFL trivia, though. He was the analyst for the first ever ESPN broadcast of the NFL draft. And I think ESPN did a 30 for 30 maybe on this draft. I want to say that the NFL Network has done something on it too. And, yeah, that was Howard. He was an analyst for that at the time. And he's on both of those features if you ever get a chance to watch him. He's all over him. Good guy. Always enjoy getting a chance for us to always enjoy when we get a chance to sit down and talk for a bit. It's time for us to get to our NFL notebook. We're getting closer. I mentioned it earlier. Week after next is SEC Media Days, which for me has always been the unofficial start of the football season. The Falcons open training camp in 18 days. We're just over 2 weeks away. This summer it's flying by. I realize today I have done nothing. I haven't been anywhere. We've had our house remodeled, so everything at home has been turned upside down. My wife has moved her business and expanded it, so there's just been so much going on. We've not done anything this summer. I just kind of look around and go, where the heck did May and June go? It's been like a blur. But here we go. 18 days till the Falcons head to training camp. Some news from around the league this week. Not a whole lot going on this time of the year, honestly. This is that time when everybody kind of scatters and guys start taking vacations and rest up before the season starts. There are a couple of things that I want to get to in this, including a little piece on quarterbacks. If you're a Falcons fan, you'll want to stick around. A little piece on quarterbacks recovering from Achilles injuries. We'll get to that. Hang on. Coming up here in just a minute on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Dolphins and quarterback Tua Tagovailoa are still trying to figure out what this new contract is going to be. Tua's obviously dude's ready to get paid. He's put up some pretty impressive numbers the last couple of years. The last two, I guess, 2 years ago, he had the NFL's highest passer rating, and then last year he led the league in passing yards. Rick Spielman, former GM of the Vikings, he was on Sirius XM this week, and he talked about the contract situation between Tua and the Dolphins. Here's Rick Spielman.
I think that if they would have got this deal done maybe last year or right at the beginning of the offseason, you may have looked at that $48 to $52 million range. But as all these contracts come in, and they continue to go up every year, that Tua is going to get paid near $55 million. Now, you can say, I don't think he deserves that, but you're not going to be able to sign him because that's, like he said, the market is what the market is. why would he take anything less, especially if it's his first bite out of the apple, first time he's going to get a significant contract. Maybe if it was his second or third contract, he may say, well, I may give a home team discount. But because it's the first time he is going to get a significant deal, they're going to have to pay him that market value. And if they don't, then maybe they don't think that he is the quarterback of the future going forward. Or they'll say, well, we'll just tag you the next 2 years after this year is up. So that's when you can get into some holdouts and him potentially not showing up. I think he'll show up for this year's camp, but if they didn't get a deal done and they franchise him next year or the year after, then I think that's where you get into the holdout situations.
You can't blame Tua for wanting to get his, and I think the longer you wait on a quarterback, the more and more expensive they get, because every time one of them signs a contract, the bar gets raised a little bit higher for whoever is next. You know, and then somebody else comes along and they reset the market for everybody else. One sad NFL story we do need to make mention of. This is our NFL notebook here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in with you. The Minnesota Vikings rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson and two former college football players were killed in a car crash overnight. This is according to the Maryland State Police. Kyree Jackson was 24 years old. He died after a three-car crash. It occurred at 3:14 in the morning today in Prince George's County. Isaiah Hazel and Anthony Lighton Jr. were the two former players who were high school classmates of Jackson. They were killed in the crash. Hazel, 23, played at Maryland and Charlotte, while Lighton, 24, played at Florida State and at Penn State. They say Hazel was driving a Dodge Charger. Jackson was in the passenger seat when their car was struck by an Infiniti Q50 attempting to change lanes at a high speed. The Charger left the road and struck multiple tree stumps. According to police, Jackson and Hazel were both pronounced dead at the scene, while Lighton was transported to the hospital before he was pronounced dead by hospital personnel later. Jackson was a fourth-round pick of the Vikings in this year's draft and had been considered the guy that would start at one of the cornerback positions for the Vikings this year. A lot of tributes. Jackson played his final year at Oregon. Dan Lanning is among those that has tweeted about it, saying that he's at a loss for words and just a real. It's a sad story anytime you hear anything like this, but my goodness, three guys who were so, so young that had so much ahead of them. It's just heartbreaking to hear that. Let's turn back to some more, maybe some more positive stories today, some happier stories today. Eric, how much of the UFL did you watch this year?
Not a single down.
I did not. I watched a little bit, maybe, of a game in the first week, and then I never watched the rest of it.
It was on the TV screens here inside the kids' studios. Often when I would come in, I would walk by like, oh, UFL, and keep right on going.
Yeah. Well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has put together an exhibit to honor the Birmingham Stallions, who won the first UFL championship. I don't know that anybody's going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to see this. I think there's probably some other things that you're going to go there to see. But it is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not just the NFL Hall of Fame, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that was pro football, and that's what they've done. Hard Knocks, The Offseason, it debuted this week on HBO, centers around the offseason of the New York Giants. Yahoo Sports. Here's maybe a little positive for you if you're a Falcons fan. Yahoo Sports has listed their NFL power rankings. And I guess they're doing it in segments. They're trying to stretch it out over the whole month. Here's what I can tell you. They have released teams ranked number 18 through 32, and the Atlanta Falcons are not listed. So at least in Yahoo's assessment, the Falcons are one of the top 17 teams in the league. The Saints, Buccaneers, and Panthers are all among those ranked between 18 and 32. As a matter of fact, Carolina is actually ranked at the bottom. Of course, this is that time of the year when every outlet, publication, every website, they're all doing previews and lists. The only thing I can figure is that list must get a lot of clicks on the internet because everybody has a lot of list and rankings this time of the year. CBS Sports, they've got the Falcons finishing second in the South behind the Buccaneers. They also bring out a, I'm going to call it a concerning stat. I mentioned this earlier. This is what I was talking about quarterbacks returning from an Achilles injury like Kirk Cousins. Now, this is what CBS Sports says. They say there are only four notable examples of quarterbacks tearing their Achilles later in their careers and then returning to play. According to CBS Sports Research, Pro Football Hall of Famer Dan Marino, when he was 32, was the only one of the four to come back and throw 10 or more touchdowns than he did interceptions in the rest of his career. So, again, according to CBS, notable quarterbacks after tearing Achilles, 1993, Dan Marino, the age of 32, 86 more starts after that, threw 122 touchdowns, 84 interceptions, and went to two Pro Bowls. 1999, Vinny Testaverde was 36 years old. He made 68 more starts after the Achilles, 70 touchdowns, 76 interceptions. In 2000, Jim Miller was 29 years old. He made only 21 more starts, had 26 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. And Trent Dilfer, at the age of 30, made 19 more starts, 20 touchdowns, 28 interceptions. The numbers are what they are. I just think that Kirk Cousins is probably still a little closer to Dan Marino. Not saying that he is Marino, but I just think he's probably a little closer to Marino than he is Vinny Testaverde, Jim Miller, or Trent Dilfer. Nothing against those guys. And let's point out, too, that Testaverde dealt with this 25 years ago. Jim Miller, it was 24 years ago. Trent Dilfer was 22 years ago. Medicine and rehab and everything else has come a long way since these guys went through the same thing as Kirk Cousins. So I just, again, I found that this week on CBS Sports. I saved the link because I wanted to go back and reference it because it ties in a little bit to the Falcons and with Kirk Cousins. But again, I just don't see, you know, how you can take, you know, I just don't see how you can take injury data from, you know, 1999 and apply it the same today, especially when Kirk Cousins, again, no offense to those guys, but outside of Marino, everybody on this list, Kirk Cousins has had a better career than Vinny Testaverde, Jim Miller, and Trent Dilfer, and miss me with the whole thing about, you know, Dilfer winning a Super Bowl. But Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than those three guys. So I got faith that when he comes back, he's going to be a little more like Dan Marino was when he came back than these guys. CBS Sports also lists the Falcons as a potential trade partner with the Patriots to land Matt Judon. That would be huge. We talked about those needs that the Falcons filled in the offseason and what's left. Matthew Judon fills those holes. Now, as Eric and I pointed out a little while ago, Falcons have just over $3 million left under the cap. If you're going to make a move and bring in, whether it's a pass rusher like Judon or a corner, if you're going to go find a difference maker, somebody in the Falcons accounting department is going to have to get a little bit creative, because it's going to cost you a little bit if you're going to find somebody that's going to make a difference right now for the Falcons on the defensive side of the ball. So that's, look, the idea of Matthew Judon here, I would love it. Absolutely love it to see that guy. But at the same time, I just don't know that the money is there. Same thing goes with, you know, some of these corners that are still out there that have yet to sign anywhere. You know, are there guys right now that could probably come in here and help the Falcons? I think they are. I just don't know that at this point you've got the money to be able to go make that move. And that's kind of where everything is right now with the Falcons. There's still a move left for the Falcons. I just don't know that it's going to be, you know, I just don't know that it's going to be that big, impactful move that I think we'd all like to see them make. It's kind of like the Hawks right now. I think the Hawks have probably got another move or two left in them. The issue is the Hawks aren't going to go into the luxury tax for anybody. So they're going to be budget shopping when it comes to rounding out this roster. I don't want to say the Falcons. Falcons are not necessarily shopping at, you know, the Dollar Tree, but they are.
They sure ain't shopping at Neiman Marcus.
They are not at Neiman. That's right. There will be no little blue bags from Tiffany's for whoever the Falcons end up going to get, unless
I'd
again,
be happy for Kohl's or Belk.
Yeah. Yeah, you better have you some Kohl's cash.
Yep. You better have they can borrow mine.
Yeah, my wife's got like God. I bet. Listen, if Kohl's cash was real cash, I think we might be millionaires. I might could retire off that. Maybe. It's going to wrap up our All NFL Hour. We're not done talking football though. We got more. Talked a lot of college football this summer, and we keep coming back to Florida and what it's going to be like in Gainesville this year. And can Billy Napier win enough to be able to keep his job? We're going to get into that next. My buddy Will Miles from ReadAndReaction.com, he's covered the Gators for a long time. He's going to join us. We'll talk a little SEC football. We'll figure out where Florida fits into all of it. That's next. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.